We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
I'm just going to warn you guys, I have no clue what's going to happen here tonight. You know, I really don't know, because I've been praying all week long, and, you know, every day the Lord's given me really like a sermon. He's given me scriptures to go off of, and I have some scriptures tonight, but man, I just know that tonight is all about getting filled up with the presence of the Lord, with the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength, amen. And so we're going to just see what the Lord does here tonight. But there's too many just boring, lame Christians out there. You know what I mean? I think that's why sinners aren't very eager to get saved. Because they just meet Christians that are just, there's nothing special about them. But, you know, you read about the Christians of the Bible in the New Testament. You read about the life that Jesus lived. Man, those guys were crazy. Those guys did the most insane things. And they would just go around casting devils out of people, having miracles in the middle of the street, having revival. You know, you see it that where Paul went, he either had revival, he had a riot, or he had both. You know, many times he would have a revival and people would be getting saved, people would be getting healed, miracles would be happening, and all of a sudden the Jews or whatever group of people, they would get stirred up and they would cause a riot and they would kick him out of the town. You know, so as Pastor Rodney says, we're either going to have revival or we're going to have a riot, but we're going to have one or the two, you know? And so we're not here to please anybody's religious appetites. We're here to just see you touched and changed by the power of God. You know, if you go to another church, your church better be full of the power of God. Amen? You better go somewhere where you can get filled up in the anointing, where you can be saturated in the presence of God. And if you don't have a church like that, I hope that that you could even come check us out sometime again, because I promise you, that's what we're all about here. We're all about the presence of God. Amen? Hallelujah. So how many of you guys were here last night? Man, it was an awesome night last night, wasn't it? Man, that was good. And how many of you guys were here some of the other nights? Awesome. So great to have you all back. It's great to see, you know, people getting hungry for the things of God. You know, it's not a normal thing in 2017 for churches to have like week-long meetings where you have service every night. I mean, some of the people that I told, like, you know, that we're going to have church every night, well, what do you mean? What speakers do you have coming? And I'm like, me. And you know? And that was honestly one of the reasons that we did this conference and that we're calling it River Conference. You know, in all of this is actually the first conference where I'm preaching every single night for a week solid. I've never done that before, never in my life. You know, and in all of our other conferences, we've always had guest speakers coming in to preach, and we just felt like this week. You know, there's nothing wrong with having guest speakers to come in, and all of the ones that have come here have been a great blessing to the church and encouraging and brought the presence of the Lord, and we bring them in because they're different than me. And, you know, we don't want, it's not just a Pastor Jeremiah show where it's all about me, but what we really felt was that the church here needs to understand that you don't need to wait for a guest speaker to have revival. Revival is on the inside of me, it's on the inside of my wife, and it's on the inside of you. Amen? We're a walking revival. And so we love having guest speakers in, and we'll do another conference again where we have guest speakers, of course. But this is River Conference, where we're really just sharing our heart, our vision, and just seeing our church saturated in the presence of God. And if you're from another church, of course, you're welcome to hop in the river. Amen? Amen. To get in the presence of God. I've read this scripture every night so far, so we might as well read it again. John chapter 7. verses 37 through 39. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart or out of his belly will flow rivers of living water." Out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. You know, it's interesting to think that out of all the things Jesus did, out of all the lives that he impacted, out of all the followers that started following him, he did that without any one of those single people actually being filled with the presence of God. You know, they received miracles. They could see the power of God. They could see that he was anointed. I mean, he spoke to the storm and it stilled. He walked on the water. It was amazing. But not one single one of those people ever got to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't until the New Testament church in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out that then those earthen vessels could be filled with treasure from heaven. And that's what you and I get to experience. We get to carry that treasure to this world. And this week is about you getting full of heavenly treasure, the Spirit of the living God coming on the inside of you. And the presence of God coming inside of you, the presence of Jesus coming in you, is what makes you sound like Jesus when you talk, is what makes people, when they hear you, when they're around you, that they say that there's something different about you. When you're with them, they just want to become different. Because the world out there, they're dry. They haven't drank of the living water, right? And if you think about a time where you've been very thirsty, where you were so thirsty, but you just didn't have a drink. Imagine being out in the world and that's how they live. They never have a drink of the living water. They're always thirsty. And so when they get around Christians like you and me that are full with the river of life springing up out of us, it makes them thirsty. And that's why it's so important that we have services and nights like tonight where we're just coming to drink. If you guys are here to expect some spectacular show or some, I don't know if you came, I know nobody would, you know, nobody comes to like here like, "Oh, Pastor Jeremiah's in town. We all got to go hear him." No one even knows me. So I know you didn't come for me. So I know that you're here for the presence of God. Amen. You have to be that or you're just crazy. Might be some crazy ones tonight. But we're here to drink from the rivers of living water. Amen. So I want to encourage you tonight to just really this service, like I mean it, like I don't even know if tonight I will be delivering a sermon to you all. I know that that's different for me, and that's what I meant by like I don't even know what's going to happen here tonight because I don't have a sermon planned. I prayed all day and the Lord said, "Do you trust me?" And I said, "I trust you, Lord." And I said, "Lord, all I care about is that your presence shows up tonight and that people get touched and changed." So that's what we're here for tonight. I mean, if you want to listen to a good sermon, listen to last night, all right? So tonight's about just getting filled up. It's a drinking session. It's a binge drinking session. Amen? Amen? You know, I mean, people, they do it in the world. And when you're in the world and you're out there drinking the natural alcohol of this world, you stay out till 1, 2, 3 in the morning drinking, partying, doing all that stuff. And you know, that's just like fun for the world. And they think that this is just great. And then people, they get saved, and they come to church, and church starts at 7. I'm sorry, you guys don't know what I'm looking at. I'm looking at the clock here. Otherwise, I probably just look weird. But there's a clock right there. It's there. People think like, well, 7 o'clock, I'll be out by 8, and wow, this church is going long. It's 8:20. I got to get home for bedtime. Amen? I mean, people, glad no amens on that. Sometimes I just say it out of habit. But, you know, they come out of the world and all of a sudden, when before they didn't care that they had work in the morning, they were out partying during the week to the wee hours of the morning, getting drunk, and then they're so bold about it that they even tell their boss, hey, I was just out having a rough night last night. It was a wild party. You know, I'm sorry I'm late. And the boss is like, oh, don't worry. It's cool. We've all had nights like that. You know, it's just accepted in the world. You know, I'd love to just have a service like one of these nights that goes out till like 2-3 in the morning and we're just here drunk in the Holy Ghost. And then you guys just call into work in the next morning and you say, hey, I was just out at church last night, man. We were so drunk in the Holy Ghost. It was wild. You know what I mean, right? And they're just going to like look at you like, what are you talking about? You weirdo. You're fired, buddy. You know, but we're... In the world, people are bold. They're unashamed of their drinking habits, right? Like I shared earlier this week about in Germany, people just getting plastered, laying in, waking up in a garden somewhere in front of a bank, crashing into metal signs, riding their bicycles at 3 in the morning. I mean, people are unashamed of their drinking in the world. And yet, for whatever reason, the church has to be ashamed of our drinking in the church. I don't think it should be that way. Amen. I think that we should be proud of the fact that we're in the river of God. I think we should be proud that we can say, yeah, I go to a church that's spirit-filled, that's tongue-talking, that's full of joy, that has miracles, that's actually doing something, that's seeing lives touched and changed, amen? We should be proud of that fact, not ashamed of like, yeah, I'm a Pentecostal. Well, what's that? Well, I mean, just don't worry about it, you know? I mean, we shouldn't be ashamed. We should be like, I'm a real Christian, full of the presence of God, full of the Spirit of God. I speak in other tongues. You don't know what that is? Here, let me pray for you. You can find out. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, let's read some scripture, though, and see where that takes us. Isaiah chapter 61. You know, since, like I said, this is the first week that I've ever really preached a whole week, every single day, this is also the first time I've ever had preacher's voice. You know, my voice has just gotten like a couple octaves lower. I kind of like it. You know, makes me feel a little more manly. My wife likes it too. Hallelujah. All right, Isaiah chapter 61. Let's just start in verse 1. And of course, this is Isaiah receiving a word from the Lord, really prophesying about Jesus that's to come. I mean, Jesus actually quoted this, but he read it himself and said it was fulfilled by him. But let's read it. Verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Let's pause there. You see, this is what Jesus was anointed to do. And when Jesus, before he went to heaven, he said, God, all power on earth has been given to me by my heavenly Father. And then he says, go ye therefore into the world. So the transfer of power went from the Heavenly Father to Jesus. He gave him all the power. And then he says, go ye, because he was transferring that anointing, the power, to the disciples. You see, Jesus operated in under the power of the Holy Spirit because that's what he was anointed to do. He was anointed. And when we get filled up with the Holy Spirit, we get anointed. We get the same exact anointing that Jesus had. It's not a different anointing. It's the Holy Spirit that does the anointing. And just as Jesus operated under the Holy Spirit, you and I are called to operate under the Holy Spirit. Let's I'll let you turn there. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Keep your finger in Isaiah 61. That's where we're going to stay for a while. But Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, very key verse. This verse, if you ever go to Bible school, a Spirit-filled Bible school, this verse was hammered into us over and over. It was like on every exam you had to quote this scripture. If you learn one verse out of the Bible, it's probably this one. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all. Say all.
All.
All. That's not he went about healing some. He went about healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Notice that people were oppressed by the devil. It doesn't say that people were oppressed by God. People blame oppression on God. People blame God for their crappy circumstances that they find themselves in. They find themselves sick and they wonder why God allowed it. They find themselves poor and they wonder why God allowed it. They find themselves with parents that don't love them and they wonder why God allowed it. It says here that people were oppressed by who? The devil. So stop blaming your oppression on God. It's the devil. And God anointed Jesus to go and to destroy all the works of the devil. We get anointed with the Holy Spirit. You know what that means? You and I are anointed to go around and destroy the works of the devil. So when we find people that are oppressed, you are anointed to destroy that oppression. You carry the presence of the living God inside of you. And that's the thing that we really have to begin to understand, is that it's not you that's going to destroy anything. It's the power of God flowing through you. So you have to learn to yield to the Holy Spirit so that when you go out and pray, you're not thinking like, man, I hope I'm anointed up. I hope that it's not your ability. People that see miracles, people that see thousands of people getting saved, people that see a move of God, the thing that they've learned to do is they've learned to yield to the anointing. They've learned to trust and depend on the Holy Spirit and realize that it's Him that's doing the work through you. So if you ever want to pray for somebody, don't think like, is this going to work? It's not you that has to work anything. It's the Holy Spirit working through you, amen? And you're anointed to do it. You're anointed to destroy every form of oppression. Now that means that you shouldn't tolerate any bit of oppression in your life. None. People say, well, that's just the way I am. That's my struggle. That's my cross to bear. They even change scriptures to try to accommodate the crap that they're dealing with. The cross represents freedom that Jesus bought for us. The cross represents where Jesus shed his blood, where he took stripes on his back, where he was killed, so that we don't have to suffer the price of sin, so that we don't have to suffer sickness. So when you say sickness is your cross to bear, you're literally stomping on the blood of Jesus and saying, Jesus, what you did doesn't matter. And that shouldn't be. The blood of Jesus, the cross, is what brings the freedom to us. It's not your cross to be sick. It's not your cross to be sad. It's not your cross to be addicted. It's your cross to be free. Amen. Amen? Jesus died for you so that you could what? Be bound? No. Everyone knows that. I mean, anyone with any sort of brain understands that Jesus died for our freedom. So why have we decided to accept sickness, poverty, struggle, all the stuff as the work of God and as a way for God to teach us and as our cross to bear? It's not. If you've accepted it, you've accepted a lie from the enemy. And if you think about it, the enemy, he's crafty and he wants to destroy you. The Bible says in John 10:10 that the thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And how's he going to do that? He's going to lie to you. And he's going to plant thoughts into your mind. And if he can get you to believe and buy into those lies, then he can defeat you. And that's why he uses a lot of churches to do that. You know, if he can neuter the power of God in churches by telling them that, you know, that's not for today. Then he effectively has rendered that group of people powerless. So he goes for the preachers because he's the ones telling people, and people they believe preachers without reading the Bible themselves. You know, whatever I'm telling you tonight, you should, you know, as our almost president Hillary Clinton said, fact check. Over and over, which none of her facts actually really measured up to anything, obviously. You should fact check me. I mean, you should, anytime you hear a sermon, you should make sure that it's in this Bible, whether it's from me, whether it's from the Pope, whether it's from whoever. I don't care. If it's not backed up by the Word of God, then you shouldn't tolerate it in your life. As I was sharing that, I got some messages today. You know, I get all kinds of messages on Instagram, mostly from people. People want help for all kinds of stuff. And I have to read this because it's kind of fitting. So, all right, this guy, I'm obviously not going to say who it was, but he's struggling with all this kinds of stuff. And he says, he's telling me, like, I'm struggling with, I think he said he's struggling with homosexuality. It doesn't even really matter what the struggle is. But he says, what should I do? And I said, have you ever read the book of Acts in the Bible? He says, yes. I said, what do you think about being baptized in the Holy Spirit? And this is his response. It refers to when one truly becomes a Christian, I guess, ? It's frankly probably fiction. But assuming the Bible is real, it's an exceptional phenomenon unique to that time and context. You know, that's what he believes about the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. So I said, so you don't believe the Bible? ? Because that's the thing. He told me that he's a pastor's son. He's a pastor's son. So how did he get that way? Because some lying devil convinced a denomination that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if it exists, it's probably a fiction, but if it exists, it was for that time in that context. And then people wonder why their kids don't love God. Why would they love God if you tell them that all the power that Jesus died to pay for, read John 16, where it says that Jesus died for us and he goes to his Father so that he can send us the Holy Spirit. So Jesus comes to the earth, Messiah, Savior of the world. His mission is to go to the cross, and all along he's telling people, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And you're going to be filled with power from God. You're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He did it for 12 people. Really? Really? You know, it doesn't make any sense. And they think that it was for the 12 apostles, which, I mean, what about the other? The Bible says that in Acts chapter 2 and 1 that there was about 120 in the upper room. So what happened to the rest of the 108 people that were up there that got baptized in the Holy Spirit? You know, it wasn't just for a limited time. It wasn't just for a group of people. It's for all of us, amen? But I read that and I was just, you know, I'm making fun of it, but I'm literally sad, you know, because that message represents people all over the world that have been told the same lie. And people all over this world believe that the power of God was for then and it's not for now. The best we can do is get saved and hope that Jesus comes back soon. And it's sad. And you know, that's why we're the River Church, so that people can come, receive from the Holy Ghost, and realize that, hey, that's not true, obviously. I mean, it doesn't take long to figure out that that's a lie. You just need to drink from the Holy Spirit. Amen? So, the Holy Spirit, God was anointed, Jesus anointed by the Holy Spirit with power to go about and do good, and so are you, amen? So people are, even today, all around the world, all around this country, all around Brockport and any other town in this area, they're oppressed by the devil in many different ways. And we don't have to go into it, but you can just like talk to people and find out that there's all kinds of oppression that exists. And everywhere that Jesus went, he healed people and he destroyed the oppression. Amen? He brought freedom everywhere he went. And that's what it says that he was anointed to do, that he was to come to proclaim liberty to the captives, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach good tidings to the poor. Amen? And so that's what Jesus did, and that's what this week is all about. This week is a week of freedom, a week of being saturated in the anointing, a week of brokenhearted people being healed and repaired, a week of sick people being healed, a week of the captives being set free, and then being empowered by the Holy Ghost to go out and take that anointing that sets you free and bring it to this world. Amen? Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 27 says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." The yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. And this is a yoke destroying week. Amen. People come in to this place carrying different yokes, and they're being destroyed night after night by the anointing. I don't care what yoke you came in here with tonight, if it's sickness, if it's poverty, if it's depression, whatever your yoke is, determine that I'm not leaving this night without my yoke being destroyed. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We serve a yoke-destroying God. Amen? Amen? Jesus was anointed to destroy all the works of the devil. He was anointed to destroy any yoke of oppression. Hallelujah. I don't care what it is. Addiction will be broken. Poverty, depression, sickness, all of it's going to be broken. So Jesus operated under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Let's keep reading in verse 2 of Isaiah 61. "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning." I want you to say that. Say, "The oil of joy for mourning." The oil of joy for mourning. "The garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." So God is going to give people the oil of joy tonight. You might have come in mourning, but you're leaving with the oil of joy. Amen. You may have come in with a spirit of heaviness. I mean, if you've been here all week, I can't imagine that's the case. But if you came in with a spirit of heaviness, you're going to leave here with a garment of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. It's the oil of joy that comes and fills us up. It's the garment of praise that people need. There's too many sad Christians around. Amen. I mean, you can look out in the world and find enough sad people out in the world, of course. But there shouldn't be sad people in the church. People should be full of joy. Because this is what it says that Jesus came to do. He came to proclaim the acceptable years of the Lord. He came to give the oil of joy for mourning. Hallelujah. And this is a way to help you understand what oil does. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 17 says, "Nor do they put new wine in old wineskins, or else the wineskins break. The wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined, but they put new wine into new wineskins and both are preserved." Now, when they would make the new wineskins, what they would do is they would take that skin and they would soak it in oil. So that way when that skin, it would become pliable and it could be stretched. And when they put that new wine into it, it wouldn't burst. And so this week is a week of you guys getting soaked in the oil of the anointing, soaked in the oil of the presence of God. So that way when the new wine comes in, you guys won't burst. You won't just explode. You'll be able to use it. You'll be able to harness it and be a benefit to somebody else. You know, a lot of people, they come into a church, and especially a revival service, and they come in and they get filled with the Holy Ghost, and they might cry, they might laugh, they might fall on the ground, they might stand on their head. Who knows what happens? But many of them don't actually take that and then go out and do anything with it. It's just all about coming into the service and getting that touch. And they just go from service to service to service just to receive, to receive, to receive. You know, I heard a minister friend of mine say that the difference between a puddle and a river is that a puddle is always receiving, but it never gives out. But a river, when it receives, it flows out. And we're a river. We have a river of life flowing out of us. And so when we receive, we're not a puddle where we just are coming to just receive, receive, receive. No, we get put in so that we can put out. A puddle doesn't sustain any life. You know, you never, if you ever see a puddle after a rain and you go out there with your fishing pole and you try fishing, you're not going to catch anything, right? But you find a river that's flowing and there's life inside of it. Amen? We have a river of life flowing on the inside of us, and it bubbles up to everlasting life. And we get to bring that everlasting life to the world. Amen? So then if you tie that, the fact that the oil is for the wineskin so that it can contain the new wine when it comes, and then realize that with this scripture in Isaiah 61 of verse 3, it says the oil of joy. God wants to give you the oil of joy tonight to sustain you so that you don't burst, so that you can be used. Amen? The oil of joy. Now, let's go over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 13. Acts chapter 2, verse 13. Others mocking said, they are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Okay, so here, these people, they see these 120 people that had been filled with the Holy Spirit. They'd been filled with new wine because they had been saturated with the oil of the presence of God. The oil of joy had just saturated with them. And as many people get drunk off of alcohol, they just become ridiculous. They can just laugh at whatever, you know. It's the strangest thing. I didn't grow up in a house where people were getting drunk. So, you know, when I'm out and it happens very rarely, but if I'm at, like, you know, one side of the family's family events and there's people drinking, and all of a sudden these cranky individuals just become very friendly after they've started drinking alcohol, and they're normally just kind of like grumpy. But they start drinking, and all of a sudden they start getting bubbly. They start getting, like, you know, funny and making jokes, and you can say just something that isn't funny and just whatever, and they just start laughing. And it's like, and I didn't know what was going on, and my wife would have to come and be like, just so you know, they're kind of intoxicated. I was like, really? I was like, man, I thought it was strange that they're being so nice and funny. But that's what happens. That, you know, they have to drink alcohol, and then they just keep drinking. And meanwhile, that alcohol destroys their body. It destroys their brain. There's no benefit. And then they wake up. They feel sad. You don't wake up after being drunk and feel like, man, that was such a wonderful experience. They wake up and they just feel sad. But when you drink from the joy of the Lord, it sustains you. You know, and the oil of joy, the joy of the Lord, it's not just because something's funny. You know, I mean, like, when people start getting full of joy and they start laughing, if it's just because something's funny, it's not going to change their life. But when the joy of the Lord begins to pour out on you, and you laugh at something that isn't funny at all. There's no joke. You don't even have, there might not even be anything said. It might not make any sense. I really liked how Brother Kyle here, he was sharing how after he had gone in to talk to one of the pastors at the church in Tampa, and he goes out into his car, and, you know, at this point, he wasn't even filled with the Holy Spirit, but when he got into his car, the presence of God came on him, and instantly he started crying and laughing uncontrollably. Think about it. If people get goofy and relaxed and funny under a wine of this world, and the thing is, you have to understand that everything that God does in this world, the devil perverts it. You know, God gives us new wine, the wine from heaven, which is full of joy, and you can almost like lose control of yourself in the presence of God. The devil wants to pervert that. So he makes something that looks similar, sounds similar, but doesn't have the same effect. It leaves you feeling empty. But when you get full of the joy of the Lord, it sustains you. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. So if you don't have joy, how are you going to remain strong? And it's not just being able to like laugh at something because it's funny. The joy of the Lord comes in as a spiritual experience, and it just fills you up. And so we have to learn how to receive the joy of the Lord. Tonight's a good night to try it. Drinks are on the house here tonight. They're free on me. I'm buying. All right? So you can just, whenever you get good and ready, begin to just drink tonight. You know, you have to get hungry for the presence of God in order to receive from Him. Amen? You know, if you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have to get hungry here. The Bible says, from your belly shall flow rivers of living water. From your heart. It's from here. You know, it's not in your mind. And this is where many, many people miss it. You know, I mean, it's interesting to think about it like this, because people that are Christian, they get saved, right? They believe in Jesus. Without having any proof in the natural, without having like any like crazy evidence, you can't write down and prove to somebody that you're saved, right? But they believe it, Christians, right? We believe that. And yet many of the same Christians, even though they believe in this experience, they believe that they're saved, when you start talking about being full of joy, when you start talking about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, they go to their mind. They try to figure out in their mind. Now, you can't figure out salvation with your mind, right? It's not your mind that gets you saved. It's your heart. It's when you believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, that He was raised from the dead, that He died for your sins, and you confessed Him as your Lord. When Jesus became Lord of your life, in your heart, that's when you got saved, right? So why then is it that when we begin to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when we begin to talk about getting full of the joy of the Lord, that people all of a sudden switch from here to here? They're not trying to figure it out in their mind how you get saved. And if they are, those are people that don't really have an easy, that struggle with getting saved. You know, most people, when they get saved, it's not a mind thing that happens where all of a sudden they understand that, you know, well, it was Jesus. He needed to become the perfect sacrifice for me, and His blood needed to be shed on a cross. And they don't understand everything, why it had to happen that way. They just know that when that person was talking, or when they read the Bible, that something leapt inside of their heart. It was their spirit that was revealing to them that, yes, there's something here that I need. I remember that's what happened to me. It wasn't about anybody that was preaching. No one was preaching when I got right with God. I was 13, and it was the worship time that was on. And it was during the worship time that I felt the Holy Spirit pulling on my heart, and I knew that I wasn't living the way that I was supposed to. And so my spirit leapt on the inside of me and said, You need to come back to me. You need to change. And when I answered that heart cry of the Holy Spirit pulling on my heart, and I came and I knelt down at the altar and I said, Lord, forgive me. I'm so sorry for the way I've been treating you. I'm sorry for the way I've been treating my family. Boom, the presence of God comes on me at 13, crying for over an hour at the altar and just washed totally clean. Nothing happened here. It wasn't a mental experience. I didn't have to figure it out. So tonight, you can't figure out the oil of joy. You can't figure out the joy of the Lord. You can't figure out the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can't figure out talking in tongues. So if you're trying to figure it out in your mind, just stop. Just give it up and learn to receive from your heart. And your heart gets hungry for the things of God. You have to be hungry. God, please come fill me. I want to tell you how I first got filled with the joy of the Lord. You know, I try to be a very dignified person. I try to, you know, especially, you know, I've learned to become more undignified, I think, over the years. But especially when I was in Bible school, I always tried to look very professional. You know, someone I think once told me that, like, if you just walk fast, people will always think you're doing something important. So I would be, like, racing around the church, like, anytime, like, you know, I needed to do something. I'm, like, on a mission. Like, don't make eye contact with people. I'm just, but you know, on a mission. I'm doing something very important. I'm probably just going to the bathroom, or I'm probably just, you know, going out to my car to have a snack or something. But I look like I'm doing something important. And I always, you know, tried to, you know, be very, very much by the rules. If I was, you know, dot the T's, cross the I's kind of guy, very, you know, strict. And, you know, I just try to compose myself like that. And so when it came to the joy of the Lord, I was fine with everybody else receiving the joy of the Lord. But I didn't really want the joy of the Lord. Because, man, sometimes when the joy of the Lord hits you, you look like an idiot. Like, I bet you there's somebody that saw this guy in his car that day, just walks out to his car, sits down, laughing, crying. They're like, look at that whack job. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But when you get full of the presence of God, you begin to just not care anymore. What people are thinking about you and how you look. But for me, I did care what people thought about how I looked. And it was interesting. I was in Bible school at River Bible Institute, which is where Pastor Rodney has his church, and he's known for having the joy of the Lord in his services. And like people all around the sanctuary would be laughing. And there's, like I said, nothing was really that funny. But people are like laughing. And sometimes laughing turns into crying, crying and laughing turns into rolling on the floor and all this stuff. And I would look around and I was always trying to figure it out in my mind. You know, I mean, even before I went to Bible school, there was like one lady in our church that when the anointing would hit and people would start getting full of the Holy Spirit, she would start laughing. And I could just reason it out that she was the one crazy lady in our church. And there's always got to be one crazy person, right? And so that was my way to be like, yeah, I mean, that's just the one person that's just kind of weird, you know? But the majority of the other people, they weren't receiving that. So it just must have been for her, okay? But when you're in a church and, like, the whole church is just, like, losing it. They're laughing. They're falling out of their chairs. They're in the ground. And it's not because something's funny, but it's because the Holy Spirit's moving. I couldn't deny it. And I began to get hungry for it. I began to say to myself, if this is real, God, then I want it. You know, it's the same thing with tongues. You know, I got, like I said, I was 13 when I got hit with the power of God. And my life was never the same again. After that, I knew that God had a plan for my life, that he would call me to ministry. And I just, that's all I ever wanted to do from that time on was be in the presence of God and follow his plan for my life, which led me to go to Bible school and so on and so forth. But I never even spoke in tongues because I was trying to figure it out in my mind. Here's the thing that I thought about tongues. I thought that the Holy Spirit would come and fill me so strong and take control of my tongue for me and wiggle it and make all the words come out. And so I'm like, God, baptize me in the Holy Spirit. I'll receive tongues. Please, I want to speak in tongues. And then I would feel the power of God would come on me. I would feel it bubbling here. But I thought that he was going to speak the words for me. But he never did. It wasn't until finally I heard teaching from Pastor Adonica how she went through something similar and how she learned that you have to yield yourself to the Holy Spirit and you have something to do with it. Let me ask you guys a question. Did God make any one of you here get saved? Did God force you into salvation, or was it your decision to say, Jesus, please come into my heart. I make you Lord of my life. So why do we think it's any different when it comes to speaking in tongues? Why do we think it's any different when it comes to being filled with the Holy Spirit, being full of joy? It's no different. But somehow in our minds, we think that those experiences are somehow up to God, that He's going to make us do it. But it's not. So what happened to me with tongues was after I heard teaching that the same faith that you used to get saved is the same faith that you used to get full of the Holy Spirit and the same faith you used to speak in tongues, it didn't take me long. That night, I went home, went into my room. I said, God, I have faith to get saved. I have faith in you. I've been touched many times by your power. I use that faith, the same faith to do all of that. I'm going to use it now to receive the heavenly language and the baptism of the Holy, with the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. I knew it was scriptural all through the Bible and the New Testament. They found believers that weren't filled and they would pray for them. They would get filled and speak in new tongues and prophesy and all of this. So I said, God, fine, I'm going to do it. And then I just began to press in, and from my belly, I felt that rising up on the inside of me. And then I just decided I'm going to be obedient and by faith begin to speak out the words. And it's like priming a pump on a well. If you've ever done it before, you just start pumping the well. At first, just like a little splat comes out. Just a little, and then you just keep pumping. And all of a sudden, a little more comes out. And you keep pumping. And all of a sudden, like, it starts to flow more. And all you keep pumping. And all of a sudden, this gusher of water is just streaming out. And that's the way it works with the Holy Spirit. That's the way it worked for me. My wife, she's a little different. I asked her this morning, or sometime this afternoon, I was like, baby, do you have a crazy testimony of how the Lord filled you with joy for tonight for you to share? And she was like, no, not really. I was like, well, what do you mean? You went to the same Bible school that I went to. And she was like, I just always believed in it. I just, you know, I saw that other people were doing it, and so I just received it. And I was like, it was just that easy for you? And for her, the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues was the same way. She was at a meeting, and the minister said, if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit and with speaking in other tongues, lift your hands, and the power of God's going to come on you and receive. She lifts her hands, boom, speaking in tongues. I'm like, man, I wish it was that easy for me. It really is that easy. It's just some people have more of a childlike faith than other people. I've always been too much up here. Now, different people have different things that they have to overcome and battle, and my battle is right here. You know, when I learn to turn this guy off and just open up my heart, I have no problem receiving. So tonight, you got to get out of here. Too many of us, we're stuck up here trying to figure it all out. And you got to get into your heart. Your heart is that thing inside of you that's just desiring, God, please, I want it. It's that yearning for God to come touch you and to change you. It's saying, God, please just come fill me.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.